We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
On a Friday, hope everybody's doing well. Hope everybody survived the storms overnight. We still got about 1,600 people out of power, according to Evergy, and they're working on that. So hopefully everybody's in good shape today. Hope everybody's healthy. John, how you doing?
Oh, you know, not so bad. Had an interesting day yesterday and already this morning. Been out and about, but not, you know, again, social distancing, staying away from as many people as I possibly can. And, you know, just going out and doing our thing, but looking forward to a nice weekend to regroup. And I think, I mean, we're looking at a couple of options to get together over, you know, whatever video links are available to us over the weekend. Just kind of doing what everybody's up to, I guess.
So a few updates on details about what's going on in the world today, and then we'll move on to some other things. Coming up a little bit later in the show in the 12 o'clock hour, we will talk to our economist, Chris Kiel. You heard him on the morning show today talking about the stimulus package. We've got a lot of questions for him about unemployment claims and that kind of stuff coming up a little bit later on. The United States now has the world's most number of COVID-19 cases. This happened yesterday. We overtook Italy and China as the country with the highest number of cases, which again leads us to say, again, please follow the directions and the guidelines as you are supposed to as we approach our first real weekend. You know, not a lot changes this weekend compared to last weekend in terms of what's open, except for some retailers, really. So we're kind of used to this, but this will be our first real weekend under this shutdown that we've been under here for a bit. So that story came out this morning, and then I know I said this yesterday about Prince Charles, but in terms of actual government leaders, now we have our first who has tested positive. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson announced overnight that he has tested positive for coronavirus. Symptoms are mild and he is self-isolating.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to watch that. I mean, the same way we were talking about yesterday when it was announced that Prince Charles was dealing with this. Now you've got Boris Johnson, and I'm sure that the same questions that came up about Charles are going to come up about Boris specifically. When was the last time he saw the Queen? They do get together from time to time.
March 11th. It was a couple of days or a day or two before the last time he saw Prince Charles, or the last time before she saw Prince Charles. So I think they had some public events together right around that March 11th, March 12th area. She's still okay. She's like 91, 93, something like that. But she's still okay. So we'll keep that in mind. A little bit later on, I think it would be valuable for us to, again, run through symptoms a little bit. Some of you have noticed that I have a stuffy head, and it's literally that's all it is. I know it doesn't come over on the air. Some of you were freaking out yesterday. Oh my gosh, are you okay? It had me in a moment last night, really, really Googling symptoms and stuff. Really, this is all, unfortunately, it doesn't sound great. All I have is a stuffy head. I think I spent a little too much time outside the other day when the weather got nice. But I think we should run through some of the symptoms and some of the advice about at which point you should be concerned and at which point you should call your doctor and at which point you should really just get some rest.
Well, sure. And I mean, right now we've got a couple of things going on all at once. First of all, yes, there is a cold that's going around. And there's also, I mean, we're at the beginnings now of allergy season. So at this time when everybody's looking for a reason to go outside, where, you know, most of us normally wouldn't, I think we've become more and more indoor people over time. And now we're taking any chance we get to just go out and take a walk. And that's great for the head, maybe not so great for the hay fever. So it's, you know, some of the symptoms are similar. What you're dealing with right now, just having a stuffy head, could be a cold. It could be hay fever. It could be, you know, any kind of an allergy. So it does make it makes a huge difference once you know what it is that you're dealing with. Because, I mean, that anxiety that we've been talking about all week long is out there. And now anytime anybody gets a sniffle, the first thing we're going to think is, oh, no, here it is. I've got it.
And
that's probably usually not true.
It's just a cold. The yeah, vast right. majority of times, it is just a cold. Like I said, I became very well educated in symptoms, particularly this morning. It seems to be more of the, most of the time, it's just going to be a cold. If you don't have the dry cough, if you don't have the respiratory or the chest stuff, it's probably just a cold.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, yeah, we'll keep track of all of that. They're starting to get a little more specific about it, about what the symptoms are and about how you can tell the differences between a coronavirus infection, because you got to understand the medical community is dealing with this for the first time the same way that we are. And they're getting a lot more definition of the symptoms simply from the patients who have it right now. And we've heard things about body aches specifically. You know, that's one that has come up over and over again. Aches in the joints, aches in the back, headaches, everything that you, I mean, one guy described it as simply pain from head to toe and bad, much worse than you would normally experience with just having a seasonal flu. That causes body aches, but apparently with coronavirus, it's a whole heck of a lot worse. Knowing that can, again, make the difference in whether you even bother somebody to go out and have a test done.
Yeah, just having a fever doesn't mean you have it.
Yep.
Having a stuffy head doesn't mean you have it. They've talked about the loss of taste and sense of smell seems to be something that they're noticing too. But again, I'm going to come back to it. It seems to be that respiratory issue, and the dry cough seems to be the thing. And yeah, just, I don't even know when you were just, if you were to say fatigue to me, I don't even know exactly what you would mean by that. But just, if you feel like you can't go about your day, you can't go to work, you can't do your job, then maybe there's something going on there. But it's interesting. I mean, the best advice then is kind of what we're doing already, which is just stay at home.
Yeah.
You know, we're not at a point where there's treatment for it. So really your best advice is just to stay put.
Yes. And so, you know, again, the symptoms themselves are something that are going to self-define over time. But now, I mean, we've got so many cases of it, Jamie, as you mentioned just a little while ago, that it's piling up a huge stack of information. And this isn't the way you want to do it, granted, but that's what medical science is all about, is taking this and taking a look at it and digging through each and every piece of data that comes in and figuring out, okay, what does this mean to diagnosing people in the future? What does it mean to combating the virus? All of that work is going on, and it's going on at breakneck speed right now. We're watching this happen in real time. If you can kind of divorce yourself for a second from the humanity of this and the tragedy of it, that people are getting sick and people are dying, it's a fascinating thing to watch this process go on.
Yes, yes, it is. So, well, we're going to talk about the weekend coming up, and I want to ask those of you, there have been a couple stories out about these early shopping hours that have been allowed in grocery stores and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
For those that have taken advantage of that, are people following the rules? There was a story out of the San Francisco Chronicle talking about how much of a problem that's becoming. Like, it's great that we've got these early hours for people that are of an older population, but are those hours being enforced? So we'll get to that story coming up on the other side. Right now it's 10:12 here on KMBZ. It's 10:18 here on KMBZ on a Friday. Hope everybody's healthy and doing well. Some of you are texting in about the experiences that you're having at local grocery stores, particularly in that early morning time when that's supposed to be dedicated just for people of a certain population to be able to go to the store. And there was a story out of the San Francisco Chronicle talking about how stores are trying to enforce their senior shopping hours.
Yeah, and apparently it's not going terribly well out there. We're getting some reports from you that are kind of mixed, but we'll go into that in just a second. Essentially, what they did is they went around and they started talking to people who were coming out of the stores during that so-called senior hour. And a lot of the grocery stores in San Francisco are doing the same thing that our local grocery stores like Hy-Vee and Price Chopper are doing, where they have a special hour right at the beginning of the day from usually 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock in the morning. You can check with your local grocery and they'll tell you, where you're supposed to be in the high-risk category. That way, not only do we make sure that people who are high-risk can be away from the rest of the population, but it also gives them kind of the first crack at the groceries. So that the people who are in the at-risk populations can get things that are, you know, necessities like toilet paper and soap and the rest of it. So when the Chronicle went around and started talking to these people, they were saying, yeah, you know, it's great that they're doing this, but there's no enforcement at all. So people who are 25, 30 years old, they're just barging in with the rest of us right at the beginning of the day. They're not following the rules. And unfortunately, the managers aren't really all that hip on enforcing them because, well, they're not security guards. They're not cops. And, you know, and they really just don't want the fight. So they kind of ignore it and make like it isn't even there. Which, like I said, is not really the story that we're hearing from you here, which means we're probably better behaved than the people in San Francisco are.
Has anybody noticed then any of the stores actually checking IDs or what lengths they are going to, or if there has been any enforcement whatsoever of this? Somebody just said on the text line, there's a Hy-Vee on Berry Road that was checking IDs to make sure you were over 60 last weekend. Yeah, why have that rule if no one is going to enforce it?
Yeah, and they're in a tough spot because, like I said, I mean, they're store managers at a grocery store. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but they're not security guards. I'm not a security guard either. I wouldn't know what to do, you know, in that kind of confrontation where you've got somebody coming in and saying, I want my groceries. And you have to say, no, you have to wait until 8 o'clock. We've got a special hour going on for coronavirus. You're always going to have people who are going to fight against that stuff. And it isn't easy. I'm glad to hear from that texter that they were indeed checking IDs, because it's the kind of thing, I think, that what they were hoping is we would do the right thing. That they would say, look, the first hour of the day from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock in the morning or 8 to 9 or whatever is strictly for seniors and pregnant women and people who are, you know, in high-risk categories. And that we would hear that and go, okay, I'll be cool. I'll give them their hour. I'll wait until later. Unfortunately, what they're finding out is people don't.
So 576-7798, if you want to give us a call, or 22980, have you been out? Have you been out in any of that special shopping time? What have you noticed? Is it easier to find stuff now that stores started doing that special hour? Was that a good, I think we've been about a week into that now. Was that a good move for grocery stores to do that? And is that making it easier? I'm also kind of curious just about people that I have not been in a grocery store all week. I'm just not going through very much stuff, and I don't even think that I'll need to go this weekend. And what I've heard from people is that now it seems like the rush is slowing down. Everybody, you know, a week or two ago did all their panic buying, whatever you want to call it, and now they've got everything they need. Now that everybody kind of went at once, now they're seeing how much they use and they don't need to go quite as often. And so that's shelves have been stocked with no problem.
Well, yeah, but it depends on where you go. And we're getting a lot of texts in right now. And again, if you guys want to call about this, we would love to hash this out with you and try and figure out what's the best idea and the best way to go about this, because I think we can all agree that it is a good idea to keep people who are in the at-risk categories away from the rest of us as much as possible and give them the kind of access they need without having to worry about us infecting them. That just is a no-brainer. But when it comes to enforcing those kinds of things, I mean, people are saying, okay, it's one thing if you can pull out a driver's license and show that you're 60. Nobody can pull out a document that says, yeah, I'm immunocompromised. You know, are we going to have people that are going to have to go get doctor's notes now to bring shopping with them if they want to go in those early morning hours?
So how do we make sure that the people that are supposed to be there during that hour are the ones that are actually there, and that aren't cheating the system? How do we enforce it then? I guess you could just lie about it if you wanted to, but how do you, you know, what suggestions do we have for stores about how they can enforce it?
Yeah, and that isn't a bad idea to just have them, if you're going to have somebody outside, somebody else on the text line, by the way, suggested, yeah, take all the bouncers who work at the bars who aren't working right now because all the bars are closed, put them in charge of checking IDs at the grocery store. And maybe that kind of, you know, not only having that checkpoint, but having that physical intimidation isn't a bad idea. But what it forces people to do is, then not only are you having to cheat the system, you're having to lie. So if somebody who's 40 years old comes in and the guy at the door says, well, this is for people 60 and up and people who are in at-risk categories, and he says, hey, I take chemotherapy, I am immunocompromised, there's a reason for me to do this. Yeah, people would still be able to lie about that, but I think fewer people would.
Yeah, and some of you were saying, and you know, the story, I'm 50, I have stage 4 cancer, my husband has lung disease and a previous heart attack, how do we prove it? What about younger people that are immunocompromised? You know, yeah. Heart disease doesn't just affect people who are older. Sometimes you can be younger and you can have that. And that's what a lot of you are saying, that high risk includes a lot of health problems, not just those that would affect people who are older. If we have anyone listening who works in a grocery store, I'd love to know what advice you've been given about how to handle this. You know, when you see people coming in, what do you do?
Yeah. And if there is any advice on that about how, you know, if we're going to be in this for a while, if this is going to be months long, that this kind of thing is going to be going on, and potentially it will, is there a way that we can set up a system quickly enough where people would be able to say, you know, here's a note from my doctor. Here's an email. I mean, you can do it on your phone, I would assume, and just set up something real quick to where you could just say, okay, here's my pass to go shopping early because I have this disease or that disease, or I'm pregnant or I'm in this category. It's not something you want to go out of your way to do if it's only going to be a couple of weeks, but I think it's going to be longer than that.
And so I don't know when stores stock. So does it benefit you to go first thing in the morning? Do all stores stock overnight? Or do some do it in the course of the day? Does it benefit you to go in that hour? Because if otherwise, I would say, what's the rush that everybody feels like 6 to 7 a.m. is when they're most likely to get everything they need? You know, because I've seen stores stocking over the course of the day.
Right. And I saw that, as a matter of fact, yesterday. The only other stop that I made yesterday was at a Walmart. And I was there for, you know, I did my best to get in and get out. It was just, I'm going to be in here for a couple of minutes. And they had the hand sanitizer station set up right at the door. So I used that and washed my hands after I left and the whole thing. But they weren't stocked. They were stocking. There were people on just about every aisle who were filling the shelves full of stuff. And this would have been after we got done, so about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But the aisle that had paper products was still empty, completely empty. No toilet paper, no paper towels, no none of that stuff. And as much as they're trying to keep on top of it, those things are still in very, very short supply.
All right, let's get a couple calls on here before we go to news. We'll go first to Mission and get Alex on the line with us. Hey, Alex.
Hi, guys. I've been listening to your report this morning, and I think you've got some really valid things going on. I've worked in retail management, Quick Trip, Hy-Vee, other places. One of the problems that we have in those environments is that you've got, first of all, house detectives. Their job is basically to keep an eye on the groceries and make sure that items aren't disappearing.
Sure.
So, you know, I noticed that Hy-Vee here in Mission had a police officer on duty. Now, how many police officers are you going to need in order to enforce this rule? Which is, you know, I don't know. I don't know how that works.
Yeah, if you do it with on-duty police officers, you can't. You're taking many of them off the street, sure.
Yeah, you know, I mean, how are they going to handle accidents if they're hanging out at IAB?
Yeah.
You know, okay, I get that. It's warm. You know, okay, I can understand that. Then the other thing is, in 1995, I had a TBI, and I was assaulted. And my brain doesn't always work great. And I'm 58 years old now, and I have seizures. And one thing I do have is a disabled pass for riding the bus, but I also have a state disabled ID with my picture on it. And if you're disabled, you should have one. That's just my process. So now I'm thinking, okay, what about hoarders? You know, what if we don't keep an eye on what people are doing? They come in, they clean out the meat department. You know, what are you going to do about that?
Yeah.
You know, because people that do that kind of thing, they've got ulterior motives. They're going to go, well, you know, I mean, I know you couldn't get any hamburger because it's all gone. Hey, you know what? I have some and you can buy it from me.
Yeah. So, yeah. We're going to see black market meat markets out there. Yeah. And you make, well, you make some really great points, but you know, I'm curious about that ID, and that's what I'm talking about. I mean, if there were some kind of easy way to set up a system where people could pull out a card and say, look, this is me, here's why I'm here at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Tell you what, I'll grab mine. Hold on. I'm working on it. I should have heard it out.
That's all right. No, but I mean, it just, I wonder if it's easy enough to do that for coronavirus. But yeah, you don't have to pull the thing out of your wallet. But
I'm just going to say this. Then, in conclusion, it is available. However, if you haven't got one already, forget it. You're not going to get one.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of time and effort, and paperwork, of course.
All right. Well, hey, take care of yourself,
brother.
That's
a problem. So I think it's pretty obvious, though. Somebody's got cancer and their hair is all gone, and they look like crap, and they're in a wheelchair.
Yep, there are ways to see it.
Yeah.
Hey, we really appreciate it, Alex. We got to run for the news, buddy, but I appreciate you calling in, and best of luck to you. Stay healthy.
Taking your calls and your texts, and we've got a full board of calls now, so if you're on hold, we will get to you about what you've seen in the grocery stores. If you were in a higher-risk population, what have you seen during that special shopping time that you're allowed to have, and what are grocery stores doing to enforce it? Let's go first to Kansas City. Ann joins us on the line out of the gate. Hi, Ann.
Hi, good morning.
What's going on?
Good morning.
Well, a couple of things. Doctor's offices are way too swamped to have to take time to send you some kind of a note saying that you're in the span of where you need to be to get in early.
That's a good point.
If people have a Medicare card, that will show that they are either over 65 or they're disabled, so they wouldn't get Medicare otherwise. They can have a driver's license that shows their age. They can also take the receipt from the license bureau when they got their car tags renewed, because that, if it has a handicap tag on it, it will show that. So there's several ways they can show it without having to contact a doctor's office.
Okay.
My concern also is that with the stores that have the 6 to 7 o'clock hour in the morning, that's really prohibitive for seniors are disabled to go because it's still dark, and they're encouraging older people to be out when it's not really safe for them to be out.
Time of day?
Should
it be a different hour of the day? Should it be the noon hour or later in the day?
No, 7 to 8 wouldn't be too bad, like some of the stores are, but there's one or two that are doing it from 6 to 7.
6 to 7, yeah, okay. So maybe they need to rethink what their hours are.
Think it back to 7 to 8. Also, most of the time when you are there about 7 o'clock in the morning, there's more people there then than there is at the noontime or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The first few days, people were lined up around the store.
Yeah, everybody wants to get in early. Yeah, and that'll abate with time. But Ann, well said. Thank you very much for the call. Yeah, part of the reason that you can't do it, like you can't take the noon hour out, because one of the main reasons for having it the first hour of the day is that they're able to clean overnight. You know, they go through and sanitize
the
store overnight, and they want to make sure that the first people in are the ones who are in that at risk group, so that you know anybody who is infected hasn't had the chance to touch anything yet.
You also don't want to have to clear the rest of your store out at noon to let a certain population in for an hour.
You've
either got to make it the first hour of the day or the last hour of the day. But first hour of the day makes more sense so they can clean, like you said.
The good news is, though, I mean, as we get closer into summertime, it's going to be lighter earlier in the morning. The days are going to get a little bit longer, so we're going to have that extra daylight. But in the meantime, you know, she's right about not being able to go to the doctor's offices because they're just swamped right now, like everybody else in the healthcare community is. But I don't even know. I'm just kind of blue sky in this the same way we all are. If there is a way for the state, in light of all of this, to step in and say, okay, we're going to give you a special sticker to put on your license or a special thing. Because just because you're disabled doesn't mean you're also immunocompromised, and vice versa. Just because you're immunocompromised doesn't mean you're disabled. You could look perfectly hale and healthy and still be at risk. So it seems like something that the state's going to have to step into and say, okay, we're going to give you a way to prove. And it doesn't necessarily have to say what's wrong with you. You don't have to violate HIPAA. All it has to do is say at risk.
All right, let's get a couple more calls on the line. Ben joins us from Gladstone. Thanks for hanging on the line, Ben.
Well, good morning. How's it going today?
You got it. Doing well, Ben. What's on your mind?
Hey, you know, I was at the Hy-Vee store in Gladstone the other day. When I got there, about 5 minutes to 7, maybe a couple of dozen people were standing out there. Couples, of course, were standing together. Everybody else was like about 6 feet apart.
Good.
Manager opened the store. There was a young employee there wiping the carts down, and they would hand them directly to you. And, you know, you went in, and people were stocking in just about every aisle. But, you know, you got in and got your stuff and got out. It was just, you know, really smooth. And you could tell there was nobody trying to sneak in, you know, under that 60 age, you know.
Well, that's good, but you wonder what would happen if somebody did. You know, if somebody who was 30 just walked up and said, well, the doors are open, I'm going in.
You know, at that point, I have no idea. But it's like you said, the store manager, he's not a bouncer. You know, he's not an ID checker, you know.
Yep.
So, you know, I guess when it happens, it's going to happen, and whatever they decide to do, you know, I mean, that's their own choice, but, you know. I just wanted to wait. The Gladstone one was just fine.
Well, all right. Well, good. Yeah, thanks a lot for the call, Ben. And one thing maybe they can do is just refuse to check you out. You know, it's one thing if you come in and get your groceries, but if they say, hey, you know what? You're too young. Yeah. You're here before time, and we're not going to check you out until 8 o'clock anyway.
Yeah, that's true. Leave your cart here and come back later. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Let's go to Independence next and bring in Hannah. Hey, Hannah.
Hello. Good morning.
Hi, Hannah.
Hi.
Hi. So my thing is not with anybody who works at any of the grocery stores or, you know, my thing is with people who are either paying or even asking their older relatives or friends to do their grocery shopping for them. I have seen this on Facebook more than once, and it's disturbing. Especially with what's going on right now, you would think helping your fellow human would be the people who are less at risk should be taking care of the people who are more at risk. And it's not happening. And that's just absolutely sad for what's going on in our country right now.
Oh, I agree. Now explain a little bit more of what you're talking about. What is the crux of the problem? You're saying that people are asking for help and they're not getting it?
No, people who are healthy, under 60-year-old people are asking people who are over 60 or immunocompromised to do their shopping for them during those special
I see what you're saying. They're scalping. Okay. They're gaming the system by asking. That's terrible. Yeah. It's like
it's family and friends. And that's just sickening. It's absolutely sickening. It's sad and sickening.
Yes. Okay. Well, I hope that their older relatives and friends are telling them to go scratch because it's like no, I'm not going to do that for you. Oh, that's awful. Yeah. Well, Hannah, thank you for the phone call and for the warning on that one. That's a new level of low.
It is. Get it delivered. I mean,
yep.
But can I ask this? Is there a huge difference between that and let's say a friend of mine is going to the store and she's like, hey, I'm already going. Is there stuff that I can get for you? And that she ends up getting a lot more because she is buying for two people. You know, I'm giving her money or she's going to Venmo me and I'm giving her a list. Is there a huge difference?
I think there's a difference because your friend isn't sick or 60 years old or older during these special hours where we're trying to keep the people who are more at risk healthy. I mean, it's just, and your friend's offering. It's a different story when you're asking somebody, hey, will you drive from Independence to Tonganoxie with my groceries because you're my aunt and you can get these special hours.
I take issue where you say just have it delivered. Because I looked at that, I looked at going like on Walmart.com to have groceries delivered, and I have other friends that do that, and I don't think the simple answer is to tell people just have your groceries delivered because that takes a while, they're out of things. I mean, there are other solutions than having your elderly aunt grab stuff for you, but I don't think having your groceries delivered works for everybody.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Hannah, thank you very much for checking in this morning. It's not an easy thing, but it just seems if somebody has special access, that special access ought to be for them and them alone.
Unless they're willing to, unless they're like, hey, I'll grab you stuff while I'm here. especially if the person they're grabbing stuff for, like we've had people text in and say, I'm a mail delivery person. I'm essential. I work all day. I don't have the chance to get there. By the time I get there, every time stuff is out. Then, if you're getting something for somebody who is an essential employee or works in childcare or something, it'll be interesting to see if anybody's actually scamming the system like that. Let's get one more caller on the line before we take the break and go to Kevin in Lawrence. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to thank you for staying on the air. I'm really enjoying the live broadcast.
Sure.
And
thank you for listening.
I just wanted to say I'm working at a grocery store, but not for a grocery store. And they've definitely been enforcing their rules, even if maybe it doesn't always make sense. Like, I wasn't trying to buy any TP or anything. I was just trying to buy breakfast, but it was in that early morning hour. So they told me I would have to wait.
Okay.
Huh.
But for the most part, I think everything's going pretty smooth, and I don't think there's as much reason to be worried as most people are. I mean, just the other day, my friend Ryan said he'd lick a toilet bowl for $20 and he wouldn't catch coronavirus, and goddamn, he's just fine.
Okay, bye, Kevin.
And on that note,
really,
thanks, Kevin. I don't even know what to follow that up with now.
All right, you know,
if phones are ringing, Keds will get to you during the commercial break, and we'll talk more about this coming up on the other side. It's 10:45 on KMBZ. Back to the phones here on KMBZ. Vicky is in Independence. Hey, Vicky.
Hello.
Hi, Vicky. What's on your mind?
You're on the air.
I'm doing. How are you?
Good, good. What do you got for us, Vicky?
Well, I was just calling because I think that the focus should be more on the younger population that are immunocompromised or have health issues that if they were to get this virus would be devastating. Someone who is 65 or close to that age range, just by looking at them, you should be able to determine, yeah, they're close enough, I think they should be in here. But what about someone who's a single parent who has a child that doesn't have child care? How are they supposed to prove that they should be in there?
Right, and that's what we've been asking, is that, you know, what do you do for somebody who doesn't look like they, you know, everybody else who's there at 7 o'clock in the morning? And I don't know what the answer to that is. It's anything that you come up with is going to take some time to put into place. And there are people who need groceries now.
Right. Well, and I don't think saying when they get up to the register, if they don't look the part, that they can't check out, because I think that would set someone up for a lawsuit.
Oh, yeah. We're just talking about somebody who shouldn't be there. You know, somebody who's trying to game the system. If they're coming in and, you know, just saying, okay, well, the doors are open, I'm going to burst my way in here. This is the problem that they're having. The San Francisco Chronicle article we started with was talking about it being rampant out there. I'm sure it happens here. Maybe we've got a little bit of, you know, better handle on it than they do, and we're probably just a little nicer than they are in San Francisco. But, you know, in general, if they're dealing with this, what else do you do about somebody who just shouldn't be there and goes in anyway?
I don't know how. I'm not exactly sure how you would be able to prove that they don't fit the part.
Yeah,
because
right.
Yeah.
Just saying that they look healthy, well, so can someone who's 65.
Yeah. Oh, right. Absolutely. Yep.
So right. I'm not sure what the answer is, but I don't think that singling people out just by their looks is going to fit the bill.
You got it. All right, Vicky, thanks a lot for the phone call. Good comment. But yeah, I mean, it's a problem that is in search of a solution at the moment. And it just looks like any solution that we come up with is going to be one that will take weeks and maybe longer than that to put into place.
And in theory, by that point, we'll be,
we're past the past the top of the curve.
Past
at least, knock wood, we will be. But that's not the only thing that's going on at the stores these days, huh?
Actually, I think it's possible. We have one more caller on hold, but they hung up. All right. If you want to call back, go for it. So I thought this was interesting. Initially, I didn't think this was about what it has become about. So Walmart, there was a headline on a Business Insider saying shirt sales at Walmart are booming, but not pants. And it's because people are working from home more. And I didn't quite figure out exactly what the issue is until I got a little deeper into this story. So there has not been a boost in sales of skirts or shorts or pants at Walmart, just tops.
Yeah.
And it's because people are video conferencing from home and don't care about what they look like except from the waist
down.
Up.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well, that's fantastic. And it's funny because, when I was in Florida, we used to joke about this with all of the guys who were on the news, because they would have to go there with blazers and, you know, good shirts and ties and all of that stuff. And they were all wearing cargo shorts, you know, because
yeah.
It's hot and you're under the lights and you don't want to sweat. So it's kind of the same thing. But now it's not so much a matter of the heat. It's just a matter of, I don't want to put pants on.
Is it? I think it's, and I've heard of newscasters that do TV. Like, for us, it doesn't matter. You know,
yeah.
John and I are on Skype. We don't care. But I think it's, I've heard TV, people that do TV news that do it too. But I believe Rachel Maddow on MSNBC, not talking politics, but Rachel Maddow I've read several stories about the fact that she really, really doesn't dress up ever. She really, in her real life, never wears makeup. She never really, she's not prissy. She really doesn't do anything with herself. But because she's on TV, she has to be done up a little bit. And so she, somebody does makeup and hair and everything, but she famously, you know, looks good from the desk up, you know, and has to wear a suit from the desk up. But beyond that is in shorts and just doesn't care.
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, no one's going to see it anyway. On the off chance that you have to get up from where you are because something happens.
There was, you know, this is a separate issue, but we all got a good laugh out of this about, 15 years ago, I think, at a, you know, the place where I worked at that point, because it was a radio station in St. Louis, and they instituted a dress code. And we all kind of scratched our heads and went, why? What is, right, what is a possible reason why you would institute a dress code for people whose voices you hear and you never see? So it didn't make any sense then. But yeah, I mean, I totally get that, because if you're, you know, if you want to look good for the boss, and if you're a teleconferencing kind of person and you do the video conferencing and you're on Zoom all the time, you have to at least look like you're not schlubbing it up at home. You have to look like you're working.
But I think it's hilarious that, number one, people suddenly felt the need to buy new shirts,
yeah,
in order to video conference from home. Like, did you not have nice, yeah, enough shirts as it was?
What were you and wearing, you to were work? Go, yeah.
Right. What were you wearing to work? And if you are buying new shirts, it's hilarious to me. I mean, not a knock against Walmart, but like, you were only willing to spend so much on those new shirts for the video conferencing that you're going to Walmart and not. Now, other than the fact that Walmart's
not shopping
open
at Brooks,
right?
Brothers. Yeah.
Well, which is probably closed also. Like, it tells you that, yeah, a lot of the major retailers are closed. And so either you're going to Walmart because it's cheap and you're only willing to spend so much on these slew of new shirts that you suddenly need for the video conferencing you didn't have to do before, or Macy's is closed and Sears is closed and that kind of thing. And so you have to kind of settle for what you can get. But I love it. I love that now we're on video. And so now we care about the waist up.
Yeah. And, you know, there's something else. We've been trying to figure this out, my lovely bride and I, for the past little while, because we still don't have a local bank account. And, okay. And that's something that, you know, we talked about this, I think, when I first got here. I didn't really feel the need to have one because I can do everything I need to do in banking from my bank, even though it's two states away from here. It doesn't really matter much. But now I find myself in that position where I actually do need a local bank account, because dealing with cash, you know, you need someplace where you can put that stuff from time to time. So, and I told my wife, I said, you know, I'll just go to the bank later on today and open up an account. And she said, no, you won't. Because the lobbies aren't open.
Is that true? I thought banks were open.
I think the banks are open, but I'm pretty sure that they've all moved to drive-thru.
Can you not set up an account online or from a drive-thru?
And that's it's exactly the conversation we were having. And by the way, if you know that that's not true, because neither one of us has been to the bank, if the lobbies are still open, by all means, let us know, because I'm sure we're not the only ones that are in this situation. But yeah, other than that, I mean, usually to open a bank account, you have to deposit something. So how would you put money into a bank account that you're opening online if you were opening it online? There's got to be a way to do it, but
you can do electronic deposit of checks. I think you can take a picture of a check and deposit it.
Yeah, yeah.
I've never done it, but I think I haven't written a check since tax time last year.
I have done that with my old account, but I don't know if you can do that to start a new account, because you'd have to have something to draw checks from.
Okay, so that's actually a good place to get us to our next conversation. In the next hour, I want to talk about, what do you miss so far? Or we're three or four days into the actual emergency kind of lockdown here. But we're, you know, a week and a half, 2 weeks into this kind of being the new way of life where things have been closed. What do you miss so far? And how have you been inconvenienced? I would call what John's dealing with an inconvenience, where you've got to figure out a different way do something you need to do. What has it been for you so far? How has this actually affected your life so far? And looking at the weekend, what challenges do you expect? We'll get into that part of the day coming up next. Right now, 10:59 here on KMBZ.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.